The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. You may have noticed there for a second, I forgot what day it was. Usually I say good Wednesday morning to you. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. How you doing, Kelly? What's happening?
What's up, man?
What's going on, man?
I say he's not happy. I just got out of my chair to start the show. I had to get a water, man. We got 2 hours out of us.
Isaiah Von Brinkel, who runs this show with an iron fist from downstairs.
It was kind of funny. We played the open. I'm like, man, I'm going to get the water. Let me get a water quick.
That seems like a good time to get a water. On the show today, Paul Carr on the World Cup. By the way, we have two games that are starting right at this very moment. We'll see how these go. Now, these are, again, group stages, the final games of the group stages.
Tunisia and France.
We got Tunisia and France. We got Australia and Denmark. Now, this is Group D. We'll do Group C later. Group D, Australia, Denmark, Tunisia, France. France is the leader in the clubhouse, if you will. The tiebreakers are pretty clear here. France probably going to end up winning this group. They can with a winner tie for sure. I guess they could tie with Australia and certainly lose on a tiebreaker. But France is in the driver's seat. But we could have a tie for second if there's an Australia-Denmark draw and then Tunisia somehow beats France. Then Australia and Tunisia would be in second place and we'd have to go to tiebreakers. It could happen in a different way as well if there is a draw between. So that's really the scenario where there's a draw here in Group D. Later, Group C, Poland, Argentina, Saudi Arabia, and Mexico, there's about three different scenarios where you could have draws in Group C, where those two games later, first place ties, I should say three different scenarios we could have ties, first place tie, and then really second place ties. And those scenarios are too detailed to even get into, but essentially, when those games go off at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, you will see the graphic on the screen while those games are going on, and the games we're referring to later in the day, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, and Poland, Argentina. The table will show you, based on the score of those games at that moment, which are happening concurrently, what the current standings are at that very second. And
much like yesterday with the U.S.
Much like yesterday, but far more complicated in Group C, which is coming up a little later on.
We might get some goal differential tiebreakers and stuff like that. Good times.
Yeah,
yeah. I need Brazil big time or Argentina big time later in the day. I got an Argentina Brazil group parlay I need to get through.
Yeah,
Argentina pulling. If Argentina, I need to win that, right? Basically, to win the group. Think they got to win that game.
Is that what you have? I don't know what you have. Is that what you need?
Well, I happen to win the group. So I think don't they have to win the game today to win the group?
Argentina yes.
Yeah.
Argentina, yes, must win to win the group. I believe that's the case. But there's so many different scenarios in that's not even worth getting into. But yes, Argentina would have to win that to win outright. If they tied, they would win.
Then it goes into that tiebreaker chaos.
Well, yes.
If you wanted to get in on these games right now, they're just getting going, but most of these books you can get in live over at BetMGM. France minus 170, even 175. Tunisia plus 450, 260 on plus 260 on the draw. Denmark minus 250. Australia plus 625, plus 340 on the draw.
I'm not involved in Tunisia, France. I am in Australia, Denmark. I have under 2.5 in this game. I also have the first half draw and the full game draw at plus money. We got Senegal through Paul Carr, who will join us a little later, talk World Cup with us as well. Drew Dinsick will join us, as I mentioned, on the show. Will Hill, Mike Pritchard to talk NFL with us. Sia Najad, NFL and PGA, a little golf talk a little later on the show. But one of the things, he got Senegal through, qualified from his pre-flop picks.
Yeah, that was one of his.
So we rode that. We got through on that. The other is not looking quite as good. I did go rogue on just sort of a finals matchup, where I did Brazil versus Spain at 14-1 pre-flop, 14-25. So we'll see. That's the only thing I'm sort of hoping for, because Memphis doesn't look like he's getting a golden boot. That was the golden boot flyer. By the way, a little college basketball note. Have you watched Virginia play college basketball yet this year?
Nope, not a single minute.
So Parlay and I went to the Virginia-Baylor tournament, Virginia-Baylor game that was in that tournament out here, like the Continental Tire or something or other.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a sponsor or not. But Virginia looked great in that game. And then last night, Virginia taking on Michigan and DeMatha High School's Hunter Dickinson, where they had a real size disadvantage down to the post, especially when they got into foul trouble. They figured out a way to win that as well. I think there is a Virginia to win it all bet in my future today.
Okay.
And you can get them really as high as 30-1, I think, still. So I think them and Creighton are the two college basketball teams that I may have some skin in the game in to win the title anyway. Pepperdine, of course, just being my sort of side hustle as sort of an underrated team. But those are the two, Creighton and Virginia. Virginia looking awfully good under Tony Bennett, who I think is one of the best coaches in the country, if not the finest coach in college basketball.
Oh, he's definitely up there. I'm seeing 20-1, Virginia 16-1. So yeah, shop around.
Shop around on all that stuff. By the way, with Drew Dinsick, because Kelly and I off air here, we're also having a discussion about, we were talking a little bit yesterday about how the soccer punditry is so shallow, it seems like, on Fox when they get in those groups and they don't really offer much. And I want to talk about a little bit about sports betting media, because we were hearing some of our buddies were moving on from certain posts to other jobs. So Drew Dinsick has some thoughts on that, which we'll get to momentarily, which some folks may find fascinating. At least we do. Drew and I sort of deep dive on this stuff. College football, the fifth of the six iterations of the college football rankings. Remember, the only one that matters is the last one, and that is on Sunday morning before the NFL action. But the fifth of the six took place last night. No surprise whatsoever in terms of 1, 2, 3, and 4, Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC. The only sort of interest might have been at who's going to be 5, who's going to be 6, but that kind of played out the way it was supposed to also. Ohio State, 1-loss Ohio State, though they got smashed at home by Michigan on Saturday. They're number 5, and then 2-loss Alabama at number 6. That's how it ought to be. And so the more and more you hear people in the mainstream media, the more you are hearing that the consensus now really is the opinion that is, if TCU loses, not by 40 points, right, but if they lose a tight or tight-ish game, that they still ought to make it through, which we've been saying on this show for the better part of a month now, that ought to be the case. And the real Reese Davis put it very well last night when he said TCU should be afforded the same logic as Georgia and Michigan should be.
Sure.
You lose, that's only your first loss. You should still be
your first loss.
And I would argue that TCU's resume is better than those two schools' resumes. So, I mean, to me, it's absolutely ridiculous. Now, it was interesting because we do have some, you know, theories that people throw out. Gentleman on Twitter yesterday, Vegas Chump, was putting out this one, and he admits he's not like a huge college football guy, but he was like, what about the fact that they had Ohio State in front of TCU when they were both undefeated, and now if TCU were to lose this weekend to Kansas State, the Big 12 championship, and they're less than a field goal favorite, why wouldn't the committee revert to, oh, well, now they both have 1 loss, so Ohio State should go back ahead of TCU?
I mean, it's absolutely an argument they could use very conveniently to put Ohio State above them.
Right? But and you know, my response to that is, you're right, they could, and this is why I keep asking the question of everybody, whether it's Felica, whether it's Futak, whomever, are you sure they're not going to leapfrog Ohio State over? I'm team TCU, because to me, they shouldn't have been ahead of TCU, honestly, in the first place.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that makes people's heads explode. People are so brainwashed by the college football brand hierarchy that brainwashes them. But, the difference being that now Ohio State's gotten crushed at home by Michigan, and if TCU loses a close one, they shouldn't revert to anything.
I'll tell you, it's taken me, because you've been fired up about this for a few weeks now.
Fired up.
It's taken me until about this week to be as fired up as you. Now I'm a little pissed off about it. Like I'm with you.
Well, because
they're in a Power 5 conference, man. Like it's like we're all treating them like they're old TCU, and they're not in a Power 5 conference. Like what are we talking about here?
Well, and because if it were Oklahoma and Texas, they would be treated like they're in a Power 5. But because it's TCU, everyone, like Pete Futak yesterday, I completely reject what he said. Oh, they haven't beaten anybody. They have beaten 6 teams that would have been above 500, you know, if they hadn't had the TCU result. All of them are 500 or better. The worst team of your conference is Iowa State. If that were Oklahoma and Texas with that resume, oh, my God. And like I said, it doesn't matter. Home, away, high scoring, low scoring. Every one of those games was huge at the time, and now we want to dismiss what they overcame on that particular week.
I still think one of the dumbest things about college football that I don't think gets brought up enough is the is the if you lose lose early or lose late, right? So to me, you could argue the, you know, does Ohio State deserve to be there above USC, right? Because Ohio State just lost. Maybe, you know, maybe that's the case. I don't know. I just hate how much that factors into these rankings always.
See how it goes. Prepare the outrage.
Prepare the outrage.
Last night, NBA, Luka, 41-point triple-double.
That was a heck of a game. That was maybe the best game of the regular season.
Steph didn't travel, though. I just want to point that out.
Oh my God, what a joke. He didn't travel. Okay. It's an iffy call. My immediate reaction, though, Gil, because I think this all the time watching regular season NBA as much as I do, I go, no way they call that in the playoffs.
No way.
I want to see that ref call that in the playoffs in this situation.
And as Steve Kerr pointed out afterwards, if you call that, you got to call it all the time.
Sure.
Some news. Bills defensive end Von Miller won't play on Thursday night against the Patriots. He could play the following Sunday against the Jets. Quote, I didn't tear my ACL. That was a huge part of it. But I do have some lateral meniscus damage, and it's going to have to be addressed. But I do feel like I can play through that, so I'm going to wait a little, let the swelling go down for a bit. And, well, about 7 to 10 days, and hopefully right before the Jets game, I'll be back. That's from Von Miller of the Buffalo Bills. And then this little note right here that you included, Kelly. Matt Ryan will remain the Colts starting quarterback. Enjoy that, Colts fans. Colts Packers. Those rip up those tickets already. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the NBA and the NFL, what he's bet this week, and a little thought on sports betting in the media from Drew as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. With your state-issued ID to open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Of course, we buried the headline from yesterday, Kelly. 1-0 USA. Christian Pulisic putting the biscuit in the basket for the win. The decider for the United States. Pulisic, what is the official diagnosis now of the injury?
Abdominal injury.
They're not going with the pelvic contusion, which yeah, they went no, with earlier?
I don't know. I don't even know. Hey, I'm not even going. I don't know exactly where that man got hit. All I know is he put his body on the line, and that was a massive collision.
A sprint to the goal, took the header, knocked it in.
As I saw from some tweets, maybe his future children on the line he put on the line. But we don't really know. It was a heavy collision.
That's what I read for pelvic contusion. Took one for the country is what he did. And the United States advances to the round of 16. They'll take on the Netherlands on Saturday morning. Paul Carr will be by later to talk to us about that. In the meantime, I'm not sure if he's betting any World Cup or not. From both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast from NBC Sports at @whale_capper, it's Drew Dinsick, everybody. How you doing, Drew?
I'm well, man. Who's not betting the World Cup? This is unbelievable. The last week and a half has been wild. Yesterday where the World Cup ends, you know, first of all, yesterday where the matches were compressed and they were two at a time.
Yes.
And then the World Cup ends and there was no football. It was like, what am I supposed to do with the rest of my day? Because like the previous 8 days, it was just like World Cup, World Cup, World Cup, football, 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 football. That was one heck of a stretch there for anyone who really appreciates gambling on both NFL and soccer.
I did for the first two games, and I actually bled this into yesterday, and I'm kind of doing it today too, but I have just been blanket drawing, because like if a Costa Rica's involved or a Cotter's involved, I don't bet the draw. But really, like, first half, full game, brain-dead soccer betting, and that has served me spectacularly well until yesterday. Yesterday it did not. So I do think that game three of the group stage, you kind of have to ratchet that back a bit.
Yeah, and you know, game three is super different than one and two.
Yeah.
In fact, all three stages have sort of a unique characteristic to them, and you know, it's funny because every 4 years you remember this as you go through it, and even now if you write it down, then you can throw it away in 4 years because they're completely changing the format. This is the second round of games. You've kind of gotten the kinks out. Some of the teams need a result. Some teams are trying to defend their position in the standings, and then in the third round of games, it's very much just very clear. You must get to the knockout round. To do that, this is what you have to do. And so that tends to drive tactics, that tends to drive lineups. From that, the rest of the market has to price that in on the fly, because, a lot of times, the France match is a good example. We didn't know who their lineup was going to be until, 30 minutes before this match started. And that completely flipped the pricing. So, it's been a super fun World Cup so far. Most of my skin in this game is in the Bet the Process Calcutta. Iran, looks like I'm gonna break even instead of hit the absolute cash on them, because the Costa Rica seven goal
we were
fiasco
thinking about you. We were talking about you
Wednesday
on the show.
Oh,
man.
Good Lord. Oh my gosh. I got on a plane to Hawaii as that game was going on, and it was 5-0, and it was getting close to like 90 minutes. And I was like, I think I'm going to make it. And then I landed in Hawaii, and of course it was 7-0. And I was like, oh, okay. I almost made it. But it looks like I could scoop a couple of the junk pots with Iran potentially and break even on them.
Couple things just to clarify for people.
Yeah.
What Drew is referring to is Mbappe not starting for France, not playing. He was dropped to the bench. After being pictured with the ankle bandage in training. So Mbappe not playing for France here currently. And then what he was referring to with Calcutta, the Bet the Process is Rufus and Jeff's podcast. We were talking a couple weeks, or I think it was last week, which we talked about then, even when you weren't here, when you were on your plane to Hawaii, which was he had a side pot team to give up the most goals in a game. You had Iran, I believe it was, who gave up 6. And you were like, oh, what could possibly beat me? And then,
seven from Costa Rica.
Seven. Costa Rica gave up a touchdown. So,
I could, right now I'm looking at splitting a side pot on team to score the most goals, but not advance. Iran has 4.
Oh, wow.
So if anyone scores 5 goals and does not advance, Ghana is probably the most likely one to hurt me there. But then I have a bunch of other side pots too. So I'm cheering for Senegal. I'm team Mighty Lions of Taronga. I think we can beat England in the knockout rounds. England looks ripe for an upset. I also have Poland going today against Argentina. Would love a result from Poland there. I got my eye also on the Poland keeper for Golden Gloves. He's been unbelievable so far this tournament. If he takes them into the knockout rounds and has a couple of surprise wins where, a couple more clean sheets, he's going to be in the mix for Golden Gloves, which is exciting. I think that basically Senegal, Iran, Poland, and I have South Korea. South Korea is dead money in the pool for me. So going to need some pretty exotic results here to finish in the green. Right now, cheering for Denmark to knock out Australia. That would take Australia out of the mix for lowest FIFA ranking to advance, which would potentially then flip it to Poland. Later on, just need Poland to get me a result.
Okay, but nothing specifically on those games. You're just riding out your previous bets.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, the Calcutta is very high stakes.
I understand. Once you have that going on.
Can't in good conscience add to my risk portfolio there.
How about the NBA tonight? Anything in the NBA?
There's a couple things. I got Bucks in hand. I got Raptors in hand. Those are my two favorite looks. But again, forewarning, 2 months into the season now, October was a losing month by a little. November was a losing month by a little. So I still have yet to find any kind of form in the NBA. And I think, as I look at the standings and you look at sort of the temperature of the NBA overall, it does feel like very much extended preseason for everything we've gotten so far, other than the Celtics who are playing, Celtics and Bucks who are playing every game matters. Everybody else in the NBA feels like, they're just trying to load manage through this first third of the season.
So again, just to repeat though, Raptors given a point right now against the Pelicans.
Then
the Bucks giving 6 against the Knicks. Those are the two teams you're on tonight. NFL week number 13. What do you like?
Ooh, God, great week, finally. It's been a while since we had a bunch of games that had, like, enormous leverage, and we get a couple of fun ones here because, and you know, for me, you know, people will probably point Cincinnati, you know, Kansas City as sort of the rematch of the AFC Championship game as the game of the week, but it, for me, is definitely Miami-San Francisco.
Yeah, me too.
Love this matchup. So, you know, there is a very clear this sort of division among the, you know, the sharper football minds, at least the people that I talk to, about how good the Dolphins are. The last four games they've put up 30 points, but it's been against the likes of the Lions, the Bears, the Texans, and the Browns, which were just absolutely miserable defenses. And so exactly how good are the Dolphins offensively is a huge question still. You know, the advanced numbers would tell you that this is an elite offense. I think what their number two DVOA offense right now, incredible EPA per play offensively. And, you know, I want to kind of give the lion's share of that to Mike McDaniel. I think his scheme is absolutely godlike. It is unbelievably cool to see him come in on year one and have so many answers to the current, you know, state of NFL defenses. And, you know, when you have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill on the field healthy, that obviously, you know, helps you. Tua making a leap obviously helps as well. But I still would really, really like to see them up against an elite defense, which we're finally going to see in San Francisco. San Francisco's defense is getting healthier. And has a defensive line that I think can make a very, very long day for Tua. Teron Armstead not expected to go here. That offensive line has pass protection issues on a good day. And so this is potentially going to be the distinguishing factor in the game as far as I can see it. The offense on the other side of the ball for San Francisco is very, very beaten up. Garoppolo, of course, took a shot to the knee late in that game against the Saints. I think his, you know, ability to operate at 100% is going to be in question. And I think, you know, Dolphins defense may be a hair underrated. So for me, this is an underlook. I think this is going to be a very competitive game decided by field goals. And my fare is about 44.5. So I think still a little meat on the bone to the under 46 in that one.
So you went under. You faked me out because I thought you were headed towards a I thought you were headed towards a whole Niners dissertation as to why you thought they would cover based on the Dolphins not having played that kind of competition. I do want to ask you about that because that is an interesting thing because most the way the human brain works, right? Okay, so Dolphins sure haven't played a defense like this, at least not recently, right, this last stretch. So therefore, they must be overwhelmed, you know, ergo, they must be overwhelmed this coming weekend. And so you sort of caution people from immediately drawing that conclusion. And I guess the way I would want to phrase it to you is if the Dolphins do overcome and beat this Niners team, will mm-hmm. that catapult them for you once and for all?
Maybe. So not exactly. I still have a lot of questions. They haven't had to use any of the good plays. So even if they've got them all in their pocket and they look amazing because they're using a bunch of the, you know, the stuff that they only got to pull out one time, then, you know, it still may not be sustainable.
Okay. All right. More with Drew Dinsick on the other side. More NFL. And some thoughts about the sports betting media landscape. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.
A numbers game on Visa, the sports betting network.
The Visa Cyber Monday deal has been extended. Sign up today to become a Visa Pro subscriber. You'll get a daily recap of the top plays made by Visa show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive daily betting reports, plus our upcoming College Bowl and Super Bowl betting guides. New Visa Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the Visa store. 30 United States dollars of credit. Visa Store, a great place to shop for Visa sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, though, it's extended. That is the Cyber Monday deal is, but it won't last long, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. Nil-nil. Tunisia, France, and Australia and Denmark. Group D. Game threes of the group stage. A lot to be determined here by these results as to who gets through, but right now, nil-nil in both. That was you like the Chris Andrews, Mike White story the other day, Kelly? Mike, well, go wide, huh?
That was one of the greatest stories stories I've ever heard from bookmaker, and there's a lot of good stories from odds makers.
Bro, have you read Then One Day, or have you listened to the old Beating the Book story times? Like that, the reason I bring it up is the nil, because there was a what does nil mean story as well, which is phenomenal.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Phenomenal story.
Mike White.
And big shout-out to Tim Lawson. who's the host of the Better Life podcast, who tweets out those old story times from the Beating the Book podcast from Chrissy Andrews, which brings us back to Drew Dinsick. This all segues nicely back in. Drew Dinsick, who is the host of both the Deep Dive and the NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast, who was on Tim Lawson's podcast at some point this summer. And you and I have never talked about this, but something earlier, Kelly and I were talking about off air because one of our buddies is moving from one job to another. And so we got to talking, and I was like, oh, Drew's coming on. I remember when he was on Tim's podcast, they had such a great discussion. And you specifically, Tim is great at what he does. We all love Tim. And he got, I don't know if he got this out of you or you felt comfortable because it was, you were super honest about you. I mentioned when you're on, okay, it's Whale underscore Capper. It's the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with Andy Molitor. But then it's NBC Sports Bet the Edge. And you got into a discussion specifically about the sort of major networks trying to incorporate sports betting into their fare, if you will, F-A-R-E. And you were honest because you were saying, hey, listen, I think they're still trying to figure out what they're doing. And then after the comma, which I thought was super honest, was you're like, and you know, to be honest, I don't even know if they've decided if we're the ones, meaning the betting community guys, are the ones to actually do it in the end. You were like, maybe they'd rather just have Chris Sims do it. I don't know if you brought up him up specifically. Yeah. Maybe you did. Do you still feel that way?
I do. And I think some of the context, I think, is a little bit important here. So Bet the Edge and, you know, just in general, NBC Sports Edge, which is, I think, no longer a thing. It's been folded now under just the NBC Sports umbrella. You know, that was a pivot off of Roto-World. And they had an existing customer base of fantasy players and, you know, hardcore fantasy players. And I think they weren't alone in kind of looking at legalized sports betting and thinking, oh my gosh, this is an existential threat. This could take all our players, right? Like, you know, if people, you know, what fun, I know this from personal experience, what fun is fantasy football if you have a bet on a game? Like, yeah. I don't care, you know, Monday Night Football, like, you know, who cares about the results in terms of stats for a weekly matchup that may pay you, you know, $100 at the end of the season if you have actual skin in that game. Like, it's a totally different experience, and you kind of grow out of fantasy football if you have that risk appetite, I guess. And I think they probably really, you know, they identified correctly, like, hey, you know, this is an existential threat. We could lose these players. They could go out and try to find betting content and leave fantasy content behind. And I think it was a shrewd decision at the time to try to provide a betting opportunity, you know, some betting content in the mix of stuff they offered in order to try to either kind of be along the ride as players pivot from fantasy to betting, or to just scoop new earballs, eyeballs of people who wanted betting content. And, you know, I happened to be in the right place at the right time. And the pandemic was a huge part of that, because they were willing to, you know, launch a show where, you know, under the NBC umbrella, where I was allowed to do it from the comfort of my office here. I didn't have to go into, like, you know, a studio in, you know, downtown LA or, you know, Century City or something. And it's like, okay, yeah, I can do this. Like, this is doable from my, you know, my home office, and, you know, let's give this a try. And, you know, the results were pretty mixed. I think that in general, the audience of fantasy players still really cares a lot about fantasy. I don't know. Sure, there have been a lot of, I don't think there's been a ton of conversion of people who kind of mostly care about fantasy football moving to caring about sports betting. So, you know, I think in general, it was, you know, the existing properties that they have that cover fantasy still, you know, survive and thrive. And the betting stuff is this still just trying to figure it out. And I definitely, when I took the job, part of my thinking was, wow, if I could get my foot in the door there, they cover the French Open, they do the Olympics.
Dude, are you kidding me? Yeah.
Sunday Night Football, that's the most watched show in America. Like, you know, if betting, sports betting really does blow up, like, it would be unbelievably cool to have my foot in the door there as sort of the betting analyst. And, you know, after a full year of doing it, like, they gave us incredible support. They sent us to the Super Bowl, for crying out loud. We were on, you know, Radio Row there with just a beautiful stage, and sent me to the Kentucky Derby. So it, you know, it's been a dream, absolutely, working for them and, you know, covering sports from a betting standpoint. But I get the sense now that, you know, just the people that will drive the needle. They're the Pat McAfees of the world, right? They're the existing kind of media entities that can talk about sports betting comfortably. And I think all of those people are in line ahead of me to actually kind of get the key gigs to, you know, to do this stuff. And so,
yeah,
you know, that's sort of the way I see things now. You know, I mean, you know, things change, obviously, and
no,
you know,
I
definitely, yeah.
I think I speak for everybody. I appreciate the honesty on it. I think it's a fascinating subject for those who are into sports betting. And, you know, again, shout out to Tim Lawson and the Better Life podcast, which had you on initially to talk about this in the summertime. Everybody should listen to it because I remember the big line that stuck with me, and I want to get to more of your football picks here if you have any, but the big line that stuck with me, not only were you super honest about, like, I don't even know if it's us in the end that they want doing this. They want the bigger names in the end to do it. But you also said that you don't think they necessarily care enough to find out who might know the subject better. Like, in the end, that doesn't matter to them as much. If I'm paraphrasing, I hope I'm not mischaracterizing.
No, I think that is fair, because it's the two kind of key things that matter the most in all of this broadcasting stuff. And I'm saying this like I know, I really don't have a sense of who the audience ultimately will be. This is still all of this, the content you're creating, like, you've been doing this for a long time. You have professional chops doing this. I should be asking you questions about what you think.
No, I just thought you were, but people don't want to know what I think. They want to know what you think.
No, but the audience is just right now still learning about betting, right? And
yeah,
the stuff that is growing the fastest and resonating the most tends to be like the guy in our industry who's grown the fastest is known as sort of like the biggest mush on you know, across all social media platforms. Like, that's not an accident. Like, people yeah, like to kind of zero in on the losers and the negative. And, you know, there's probably like a 10-to-1 just human reaction, you know, between the positive interaction versus negative. Like, you know, I think I have 4 winning weeks in a row in NFL. People can maybe get like a couple of, you know, attaboys and then 1 bad week, and everybody's
Drew,
like, thanks for nothing.
Drew.
Yeah, thanks for nothing. You know, from 100 people, it's like, okay.
Drew, it's amazing. We literally scroll down all the bets that we've hit on this show this year, that I've hit on this show. And
sure,
it's amazing. If somebody wants to hate you, they'll spit it. Oh, he's terrible. Oh, really?
Sure.
I compare your year to mine. Here's the rest. You know, it's incredible. Anyway, we have 2 minutes. Let's continue. Let's agree to continue this discussion on air.
I got one more quick point that
please, go ahead.
So we get very little feedback about what people want. I think we're kind of trying to guess, right? And you know, for the most part, the metrics that they use to, is this a successful endeavor one way or the other, is all just attention based. Like, how many clicks, how many views, you know, all that stuff is driving most of the, you know, decision making on this. And, you know, because the audience is immature, you know, the likes of the Pat McAfees of the world who have a foothold and have a built-in audience are, you know, they're the most valuable properties.
Right.
And I think it continuing to trend in that direction, at least for the time being, is what I would guess. But I do think there is a long arc here where people either crash out of the space entirely because they're like, this is no fun losing, or, you know, they do double down and find the smarter content, the stuff that people are, you know, the stuff that actually helps them become better players.
Drew, we can only hope. We can only hope. I hope that wasn't too nerdy, too deep dive for some people, but we could talk about this for hours. It's a fascinating subject. Real quick, 30 seconds, besides the under in the Dolphins, Niners, what do you got?
I played the under in the other big high-profile game, too. My fare in KC since he was 51, so I think still a little bit of meat on the bone on 52.5 to the under. And then besides that, it is just a teaser spectacular week for me. I have long teasers up to my eyeballs all the way across the board here. There's still 4, maybe 5 that are in the Wong zone, but this is going to be just a beauty of a teaser week.
A Wong teaser fest from young Drew. Drew, thank you, man. Always appreciate
it. Best of luck.
Drew Dinsick, everybody, at whale_capper. Paul Carr, his thoughts on yesterday in the World Cup and today and on Saturday as well. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make some midweek magic with Light the Lamp Wednesdays at BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Place a $25 wager on any NHL player to score a goal on Wednesday, and you'll automatically receive $2 in free bets for every goal scored in the game, up to $16. Just log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to get started. Then opt in to the Light the Lamp Wednesdays promotion to receive a $2 free bet for every goal scored in the game, regardless of your prop bet's outcome. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Speaking of hockey, by the way, Kelly, I know you're all about the hockey.
Yeah.
Boston Bruins extending their home win streak to start the season to 13 games, I believe it is now, which is just unbelievable to start the season. They've won 20 in a row at home overall, extending back to last season. The record is 24. So whenever we had Jake Hahn and Andy McNeil on, we're like, this is really an interesting beginning to a hockey season where the good teams are just spectacularly good. Talked about them, the Devils, the Knights. Then we had Alex Ovechkin last night. Two more goals for Ovechkin.
Saw that one.
He already set the record for most goals with one franchise. He did that sometime, or I think it was a couple, earlier this month, actually, earlier in November. Last night, he set the record for the most away goals ever. And he is now 8 shy of Gordie Howe for second place all-time goals. He's got 793. Gordie Howe has 801. Wayne Gretzky still the mark to get to just shy of 900 goals. The great eight.
It's crazy. Yeah, I saw the away goals he passed last night. It's just, anytime you're passing someone like Wayne Gretzky on a records list, it's pretty impressive.
The amazing thing about Ovechkin, and Golden Knights fans saw this, you know, loud and clear in the Stanley Cup Finals some years ago now. He just has his office. He sits there on the left side, right, and just they lose track of him or whatever it is, and he just slaps them in. It's incredible.
These records are insane. I mean, like the Devils, 19-4 to start the season.
Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible.
19-3.
It's an incredible start to a hockey season. Like we were saying with Jake and Andy, it's, again, and I did the research for like best 20-game starts to a hockey season. You've had better starts by certain teams in history, but not three teams in 1 year or two in 1 year. So it's interesting because we talk about the haves and the have-nots and the chasm between those widening in other sports, baseball and football.
How about the Kraken?
Yeah, the Kraken with
14-5.
Well, the Kraken won last night 9-8.
I saw that one.
Matt Brown would have lost his mind.
The over got home.
Yeah.
Just in case you're wondering at all.
He has a lifelong grudge against the Kraken. By the way, 6 goals scored in the first period of that game. Speaking of the over getting home. By the way, that subject that we were just talking about with Drew, I could do 10 hours on that subject.
Yeah, me too. It's fascinating.
We got text. Chris Valika chiming in. He put it like this. He was like, fantasy players looking for another way to enjoy the game while watching. Sports bettors trying to make money on the game. And he still thinks it comes down to the connotation of gambling for many. And I agree with what Drew was saying. Like, I would have expected more fantasy players to convert, but no. The people that I know who love fantasy still just love fantasy in a way. It's just amazing. Will Hill chiming in as well, saying that was awesome. That
there's just a massive difference, too, between daily fantasy players and regular fantasy players, too. I think in daily fantasy, there's much more of a crossover to the sports betting space than what you're talking about season-long fantasy-wise, like Drew was talking about.
Yeah. Let's bring in Paul Carr, everybody, kind enough to join us multiple times a week during the World Cup. He's from the Expected Value podcast, which he hosts, and, of course, True Media Networks, formerly at ESPN. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good, and just listening to your conversation, it's been interesting because sports betting became legal in Kansas right at the start of the football season. So, like, my buddies and I, who have had a fantasy league for 20 years and have dabbled in DFS because that's been around here for a year or two, our focus has shifted almost entirely to the betting front for this year. And we still do some of those other things. And again, this is a small sample of half a dozen guys. But at least here, for us, that's what's kind of taken over, for better or worse.
Interesting, because my two biggest fantasy friends, it doesn't matter how many times I try to say something betting wise, they will still every week. And these guys are like accomplished in their own fields in life. Like it's, you know, like people would die laughing if they knew. All they care about is who should I play my tight end this week? Should I play? That's all they care about. It's all they care about still. That's just one tentacle to it. Mm-hmm. It's a whole wide conversation. All right. Let's start with yesterday. How about the United States of America? I guess the real question is moving forward on Saturday.
Yeah.
We got a shot here against the Netherlands. By the way, plus 180 to advance past the Netherlands, plus 750 to reach the semis, 90-1 to win it all, 40-1 to lose in the World Cup final. We just had to throw those out there, Paul, but let's start one at a time. You think there's a shot here on Saturday?
I do think there's a shot. I mean, first of all, this is kind of a free roll to me from a U.S. perspective, more as a fan, just because getting out of the group is like what you have to do. That's your expectation. Once you've done that, you're an underdog. You know, it's almost like a mid-major getting into the Sweet 16 and you're running into a blue blood. Just like, all right, if we can pull something, that'd be great. If not, we had a good run. Netherlands is, you know, if you have to play one of these seeded teams, you know, there's a one seed basically in each group. Netherlands is probably the one you want because they don't have the, you know, they're like the, I think it's like the eighth betting favorite before the tournament. They're not in that top tier with France and Brazil and Argentina. And they're a little behind your England, Spain, Germany types. So, and they haven't looked that good. You know, only they have 5 goals in 3 games and they've only given up 1, but the underlying numbers suggest that they've been fairly lucky on both sides, about 2.5 goals expected goals and 2.5 expected goals conceded. So they're not clicking yet. And that's obviously a good thing. They don't look like they can blow you out of the water the way some of those other top seeds have the potential to do. So yeah, I'm not saying the U.S. is going to win this or going to advance, but if you're picking a one seed, so to speak, to play in the round of 16, the Dutch are probably it.
The Dutch. Remember that line from Austin Powers from Michael Caine?
And the Dutch.
And the Dutch. I thought Taylor Twellman had a good point on that this morning. I was watching him, and he was talking about how this Netherlands team is, and Paul, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but he's talking about how the Netherlands team is, you know, kind of like a blue blood in college basketball. They're there. They're always going to be there. They're a very professional team. There's just nothing that really stands out about them that he's seen so far in the World Cup that he thinks makes them susceptible to, the USA possibly getting past them.
Yeah, no, that's true. They have 2, 3, 4, you know, world-class type of players that could start for about any team. And a bunch of, you know, good to solid players like you would expect from one of these top teams. Memphis Depay is their top forward. He's been injured. He's kind of been easing his way into the tournament. His first start was the third group game, and he played 60-some-odd minutes. If he's back and healthy, that makes the Dutch a lot more dangerous. But they don't have the ceiling that France has, for example, where if France is on its day and everyone's there, like they're going to beat anybody in the world. The Dutch aren't quite that good. So, and they haven't looked great against Senegal, Ecuador, Qatar. There's some good teams in there, but no world beaters there either. So yeah, it's as good a matchup as you can really hope for in the knockout stage.
Yeah. My Memphis Depay 24-1 to win the golden boot.
That's not getting there.
Just sitting there in the account, not looking very good.
He had chances in the last game against Qatar. He had 2 or 3 great shots. And obviously didn't get there. So, you know, we're hoping he doesn't roll up 3 on the U.S. or something. There's still a long shot, but it's a very long shot now.
By the way, 0-0 Tunisia, France, Australia, Denmark, both at the half. So hit the first half draw there at plus 129. The under looks good as well. So good start here to these bets. That's for sure. Plus 130. Yeah, plus 120. Plus 131. Yes, on that. So we'll see if we can hit the full game draw. We'll see if the under hits. What about, again, for those who missed it yesterday, there's 2 more games coming up in a very complicated Group C where all kinds of tiebreakers can come in, not just goal differential, but even bookings. What do you have, again, this afternoon? Not this afternoon, but in about 3 hours.
Yeah, my play, I have the under 2.5 on Saudi Arabia, Mexico, plus 105, I think I got it at. And I think I still saw some plus money prices out there this morning. It's a good price, and I think the logic is, you know, Mexico has to win to advance, and they may have to win by 2, 3, 4 goals, depending on how the other game goes. So I think that's why you can get a decent price, but I don't think Mexico can do that. They've shown no ability to score so far in this tournament. They've been pretty good defensively, locked up Argentina really well despite the 2-0 loss. So I have under 2.5. I don't think Mexico has it, the ability to put goals up, and I don't think Saudi Arabia will be all that interested in doing it themselves.
All right, and then pulling Argentina, you're staying away from it?
Yeah, I mean, Argentina's a big favorite here. I've kind of been fading Poland the whole tournament with mixed success, but yeah, I don't have a play on this one.
Good Lord, the scenarios. Again, Poland with 4 points.
That's great.
Argentina and Saudi Arabia both with 3. Mexico still alive at 1. Mexico has not scored a goal through 2 games.
Yep.
So they need to...
They should do something about that.
Erase that.
Actually, they should. So I don't want them to do anything about that.
They need to erase that shame that could be in front of them later today.
I recommend scoring.
You know, I don't know much about soccer, Paul, but I'm told. Yeah. Paul Carr, we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you again Friday, Paul.
Sounds good.
My man, Paul Carr, everybody. At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. Mike Pritchard on football next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.